Wow, it's fantastic to be here this evening, see so many faces here, and just be able to worship the Lord with you. I was asked by the regional team just to share a very short word this evening, which is very difficult for me. Not the sharing the word bit, but sharing the short word bit. So I will do my best. It was made a little bit easier for me seeing that Anton just basically preached half the sermon that I had in mind. So the 10 minutes will most probably be 5 minutes. But I would like to share one or two just thoughts with us as we're heading into the rest of 2011. We're in March 2011 already. And towards the end of last year, the Lord began to just speak to us about a couple of things and a few thoughts that He dropped into our hearts, and through different preachers and just different confirmations being given to us as a region. And what is amazing is the fact that we're from Standerton and from Pretoria and Johannesburg, and not one of those cities, if I may be so bold as to pronounce Standerton officially a city, not one of those cities is the same. That they differ vastly in terms of geographical description and demographics and all sorts of things. And yet we come together on a night such as tonight, and there's something that supersedes all of those differences. There's something that bonds us together. There's something that beats in my heart that resonates in your heart. And besides the fact that some of you I know, some of you I don't, none of those things matter when we come together, because we have been called together and we have been brought together and we have been saved by one Spirit. And that makes all the difference. And as we're heading into 2011, and our visitors would ask you just to bear with us for a few minutes, the Lord is saying something to us as a family. And this evening, this morning, we had the privilege of having Christelle there with us. She ministered the word here that she ministered a while ago, Johannesburg, and in Standerton as well. Just about the fact that the Lord has called us to live our lives for His purposes, for His glory. That in actual fact, us being in church and coming together and worshiping God, even on a night such as tonight, where we worship God for what He has done and how awesome He is in our lives, even that very act of worship is not about us. Even us coming together tonight is not about us. It's not just about us singing a few songs and having a wonderful experience, even though we will have to tie some of you down because you're just wanting to explode out of your skin because you're going to have such an awesome experience tonight. Some of you will have to chase out the doors and say, guys, we really need to go home now. We can't continue to worship. You're going to have a ball. But besides the fact that you're going to enjoy yourselves, and this is going to be the highlight of your weekend, for some of you, the highlight of your year, our enjoyment isn't the primary purpose of tonight. Our sense of excitement isn't the primary purpose for tonight. And us coming together as a body of believers, and by the way, we together as Shofar, and that means that we have a unique flavor to us as a church. We're passionate about things. We're passionate about the lost. We love the Lord with all our hearts. And we don't make apologies for the fact that we preach the gospel. Good news to the poor. The fact the Lord has called us to, if we want to follow Him, He says it very clearly, take up your cross and follow Me. And for us as the leadership in this region, the Lord has really been speaking to us very directly, saying to us, guys, I want you to hand back, so to speak, hand back to the church their mandate. Hand back to the church the liberty to do what I've placed in their hearts. So the Lord has been challenging us, and I want to put this into context and share with you the same scripture that Anton shared just starting a little bit earlier. You guys can just flight that. It's one of my favorite ones, and I've preached on this already, but let me just read this for you. John 4 verse 5 says, so He being Jesus, when He came to a city of Samaria, called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And so Jesus, wearied as He was with His journey, it's an amazing, comforting thought that Jesus also got tired in His humanity, sat down beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For His disciples had gone away to get some Kentucky. And the Samaritan woman said to Him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of Me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. I'm going to get to the top verse there. So He came to a city of Samaria. And we believe that the Lord has been leading us to go to Samaria all around us. Samaria was the last place you would find a devout religious Jew. Samaria was the last place that religious people expected revival to break out. And yet it was the place that Jesus felt himself needing to go to. That Jesus went into Samaria to take the gospel and take the life into that city. And for us, the Lord has just been challenging us and saying, where are the places where you think my gospel cannot reach? Where are the Samarias around you in your family? You know, some of us, we've got those little pockets in our families. We think, okay, God, here you can work, but with those portions of my family, I'm not too sure. Or with this part of my heart, I'm not too sure. This part of my work environment, I'm not too sure. I've got faith for Jerusalem, but Samaria, I'm not too sure about. And the Lord has been challenging us with this basic truth. The gospel was meant to go out into all the world. And so he's been saying to us, guys, I'm wanting you to go. I'm wanting you to stretch your faith, and I'm wanting you to go. And so a theme for this year will be go. And we will go this year. We'll do missions. We'll get out of our comfort zone. We'll move to where God wants us to be. And I just want to encourage you as believers, think about the places in your life. Where are the Samarias in your life? Where are the areas in your life where you're thinking, God, I'm not too sure whether you can move here. Trust him. Jesus is wanting to go exactly where you think he can't. Exactly in the area where you think God is going to take a miracle for this to change. You're right. Unfortunately, we're serving a God who's in the miracle working business. And so God has called us, I say, to a time, a place, and a people such as this. That the city of Johannesburg, the city of Pretoria, the city of Standerton, and Bloemfontein, where we are heading to, the Samarias, the places where there are needy women, needy men, needy kids sitting thirsty after life. It's the places God has called us to. Not the Jerusalems, not the places of comfort where everything is fine and we have everything the way we want to have it, but the places where there are people needing life. And so we're going to go into different areas in this year. And I just want to thank you guys for uniting your prayers with us, your faith with us, your finances with us. If it weren't for you giving of your time, giving of your finances, it would not be possible for us to go. So thank you for releasing us over the years to go and to minister the word. I want to encourage you to continue to do that with us. We go into the next one. We see that Jesus answers this woman and says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She's amazed by Jesus coming to her and asking her for a drink. Like Jews were elevated far above the Samaritans, and here Jesus comes and Jesus asks her for a favor. And it's like the president stopping next to a beggar and asking the beggar for a favor. She was confused. How can this happen? In the very same way, Jesus, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even as we're coming into his presence, he will be asking, even as he did already through Anton, he'll be asking certain things from us. He will lay a person on your heart in the worship. As you are worshiping God and as you are focusing on God, something amazing will happen in your heart. People and names and places and circumstances will start popping into your mind. You're not getting distracted. That isn't the devil saying, remember so-and-so, pray for them. I can give you a bank guaranteed check. That is not the devil, okay, asking you to pray for somebody. Things will start happening in your heart as you are worshiping him. And here this woman says, but how come you're asking me? And Jesus says, if only you knew what I'm offering to you. Yes, I'm asking you for finances. Yes, I'm asking you for time. Yes, I'm asking you to walk away from your comfort, to walk away from your selfishness. But if only you knew what I have in store for you. And saints, that's all I'm wanting to say to us tonight. Let's not approach tonight as just another night. Jesus is standing in front of this woman and he's saying, if you only knew who it is standing in front of you. And when we come together on a night such as tonight, there are things about to happen in this room. There are things about to explode in hearts. There are things about to crystallize in your mind. Because you didn't just come to Cedar Park Conference Center in Johannesburg. You came to the Ancient of Days. You came to the Holy of Holies. And who knows what can happen tonight? So I want to just urge you, don't just look at the songs we're going to sing as just songs. Your life will not be the same if you allow Jesus to do what he wants to do in your life tonight. And Jesus goes on and says, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle. And she's getting religious again. She's going back to tradition. And let me say this to our saints. We cannot afford where God is taking us to get stuck in the past. Jesus was giving, offering before her life. Life and life in abundance, a new beginning. And she was wanting to hold on to the comfortable. Let's go of the comfortable tonight. Let's cut with it. Let's cut with Jacob. Because a man's idea and a man's opinion isn't good enough anymore. The way things have always been done isn't good enough anymore. Jesus is taking us on a journey, taking us on an adventure. Let's follow him where he's leading us. We continue. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. And the water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And tonight something amazing will happen to many of you as you respond to the Holy Spirit. Because by the way, it was the Holy Spirit that drew you here. It was the Holy Spirit that tugged on your heart and brought you here tonight all the way from Standerton or Pretoria or the outskirts of Johannesburg. Not just the invitation your friend gave you, not just that announcement that came through, it was the Holy Spirit that gripped your heart and brought you here for a purpose. And so your appointment isn't with us. Your appointment isn't with a band. Your appointment isn't with the songs. Your appointment is with a living God who has his eye upon you for good and not for evil. Who's fixed upon you. Right now is looking at you, eagerly hovering over you to do awesome things. And something happens in her heart as she responds. She draws near to Jesus, and then Jesus comes and does something unexpected that will happen to many of us. As you're entering into worship, you'll begin to see things in your own heart. Jesus confronts it, says, go call your husband and come here. And then she responds. She says to him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This you said truly. Jesus, in the moment of worship, in the moment of vulnerability, shows her her true self. Shows her what her heart is really like. And for many of us tonight, as you will be reaching out to God, things will surface in your heart. Like, God, that word I spoke against my mom and I've never asked her to forgive me. That thing will bug you in this moment of worship. As you're stepping into the presence of God, just the opportunity God gave you and you didn't take it, will pop into your mind. That unforgiveness, that bitterness, the things that we sometimes hide away. If you really open up your heart tonight, the Lord will set many of you free of stuff that you have been holding onto for years. If you will allow him to shine his truth on you. That isn't something to condemn, that is something liberating. Because as she looked at the truth, look what she did. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are her prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She gets religious again. She wants to do stuff again. She's saying, but let's rather talk about how we should worship. Let's rather talk about whether the music is too loud or whether there should be a drummer or whether the guy should smile more or whatever. Everything, but let's not focus here. And Jesus draws her back. And he says, forget about how big the crowd is. Forget about whether the person standing next to you is singing falsely or not. Forget about whether the music is too loud or too soft. Forget about all those things because what I'm after right now is your heart. And Anton read it. He says to her, forget about where you're going to worship. Believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Some of you will worship yourself out of depression tonight. Some of you will worship yourself out of addiction to masturbation and lust and all sorts of things that have kept you bound. You will worship yourself through it as you keep on focusing your eyes on the one who has the living water. Don't allow those things to block your mind right now. You are close to the living water that Jesus is holding before you. Tonight is the night of your deliverance and of your freedom. And some of us, we hide those things away and say, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to deny this. Don't deny them. They're there, but so am I. And I'm greater than those things in your heart. Let's go on to the next one. And I'm nearing the end of my longish, short sermon. Jesus said to them in, And at that moment, the disciples come. Pathetic timing as usual. Jesus was in the moment speaking to her. They come. They perplexed. He's speaking to a woman. And then she goes off to testify back home. She says, come and see this man who does awesome things. They say to Jesus, Jesus, aren't you hungry? Look at the Big Mac that we brought you. Jesus says, no, I don't want it. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there yet 4 months and comes the harvest? I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest. He reaps, receives wages, and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. You know what's amazing? Jesus transitions from worship to evangelism in a heartbeat. He speaks about worship, and then he speaks about evangelism. The more we worship, the more we want to reap souls for him. So some of you guys, as we're worshiping tonight, you're going to be overcome with a passion for the lost like you have never experienced. And your entire life will be changed. You will not go into this week thinking the same about your work, nor about your family, nor about the guy sitting next to you in the taxi, nor about the guy filling up your car at the petrol station, because the Spirit of the Lord God is about to come upon you tonight, and he will change everything about you as you open up your heart to worship. Some of you have been crying out to God, God, there's a hardness in my heart, deliver me. You cannot deliver yourself. You worship him tonight, and you see what the surgeon can do with that hard heart of yours. You watch, and you see. I've got a passion in my heart that in this year 2011, in Standerton, Bloemfontein, Pretoria, Johannesburg, we're going to be a bunch of harvesting worshipers. In other words, the more we open up our arms to God in worship, the more we're going to open up our arms for the lost. And as we're worshiping him, we will be harvesting. And as we're harvesting, we'll be worshiping. For even worship's ultimate aim is to reach the lost. He reaps, receives wages, and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. And allow me just to put this into context for us, for where we are in the region. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And saying, there's one master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and different ones of us are doing different things. And for us as a region, guys, let's wrap this up. Where are we going? The Lord is maneuvering us to different places. Some of us who have been sowing in one area is going to sow in another area. Some of us are going to reap in other areas where we haven't sowed. Lots of changes. Some rumors, some things going through the grapevine. They are all true in terms of the changes. Okay, the Lord has been so faithful speaking to us as the leadership. I want to say to you that our heart is simply this, to be obedient to God. That he is sending us to reap, sending us to sow. So in this next little while, you'll see a few changes in terms of the leadership. And I would like the leadership team just to come up quickly, please. Anton and Christelle, if you can come up with my lovely wife. If you can come up as well, putting you on the spot. I know, babes, come. Philip, Lorraine, if you can come as well with a little Noah. Is Alistair here? Alistair, you can come. And Esther, if she's here as well. And Alex, you can come as well, brother. And Donnie, come, my friend. And JP, our host. First of all, I just want to, Esther and Matt, thanks, Sonia. First of all, I just really want to just thank you guys as a region for your faithful prayers for us. What a blessing to be able to serve the Lord with you. What a blessing to be able to minister the Word of God to you. Thank you for being so responsive to the Word of God. Thank you for being there for us when we needed you, for picking up in the Spirit when we were pulling a heavy weight, and for praying for us and sending through SMSs and just sending through emails saying we're with you and we're praying for you. You will never know how much that means to us. Thank you so much for just partnering with us. And I want to thank God for this amazing team that he has given me to just labor in this region. I sort of got a title thing going about that I'm looking after the region as the regional director. And this is an awesome team the Lord has given me. And JP and Lorraine, just since they came here, just incredible growth that has taken place in Shofar Johannesburg. As you guys can testify, it's amazing work that the Lord has been doing. such fruit, spiritual and otherwise, as we can see, that the Lord has been blessing them with, an awesome disciple maker that the Lord has raised up. And JP and Lorraine, they're moving into a more tent making position towards the middle part of 2011, where JP has got a great passion for the business environment, and he feels the Lord has really called him to just pioneer reaching out to the business world. And so JP is going to run about May. He's going to move into the business world, and so he's not going to be at the office anymore full time. He's still going to teach, and he's still going to preach. He's still going to be the pastor of Shofar Johannesburg, but he's going to do so now with a lot of other responsibilities as well, and really trusting the Lord to just really open up the way for many more of us to follow, to say that our lives are not our own. Whatever God calls us to do, we're going to do. And I just want to honor you, JP, for your obedience in being obedient to the Holy Spirit and following God where He's leading you. And in that light, we also, Nikki and myself, coming from Pretoria, it's where we've been pastoring for the last 3 years or so, the Lord has just spoken to us, and we're going to come alongside JP and Lorraine, and we're going to assist them in Johannesburg. And so we're going to move the regional head office gradually from Pretoria to Johannesburg, and we're going to trust the Lord for the city of Johannesburg, this amazing city the Lord has given us, the Samaria in a certain sense, where just so many things have happened in the city already, godly things, and we're here to redeem this culture for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're excited about the amazing team the Lord has put together here between JP and Lorraine and Nikki and myself and Alex. Is going to continue on as a chief administrator, and his lovely wife, Izan, is going to assist him. Obviously, Izan is also in the same position as JP is. Those of you who haven't noticed, she isn't working full-time in the office anymore, but she's carrying a lot of responsibility at the same time. Izan, thank you so much for your heart and your willingness to serve. And the same for Alex, just the backbone of the office. And we really appreciate you, your selfless service, and just being there, being the glue to a very large extent. We love you, and we really appreciate you. Thanks, Alex. So as I will be making the transition from Pretoria to Johannesburg, Philip, who's been faithfully pastoring in Pretoria now for the last 5 years, Phil? Going on six. Just Philip is going to step up to the plate as the senior pastor in Pretoria. We're very excited just to see his focus. Just his focus and his passion and his energies and the anointing the Lord has placed on his life. We see that also being brought to bear on the entire Pretoria congregation and not just on the students. And we're very excited what the Lord is going to do there, together with his lovely wife, Yanetta, and the beautiful baby girl, Lisa, who can't be here tonight. And Phil, we just want to honor you as well. Thank you for the service you've given to me and the support over the last 3 years. Really made it easy for me. Just a wonderful, one of the great hallmarks of a great leader is the ability to follow. And Philip has just been so submissive and just following just my lead. And I really want to honor him publicly, Philip, for your heart in that. And together with him, Dani, who's been faithful in Shofar now for the last 6 years, hey, Dani, going on seven. Just the amazing, amazing faithfulness that Dani has displayed. We're so excited what the Lord is doing in Dani's life. So Dani will pastor together with Philip, and serve Philip's vision in Pretoria. He's going to assist Philip in pastoring the adult and the family zones in Pretoria. We're very excited together with Jacomine and their two beautiful little baby boys who are here somewhere playing and interceding for this meeting. And then Anton and Christelle, as we all know, Shofar Stunnerton, just the incredible growth that has taken place there since they moved there. And just such a blessing. And it's what when I get this mic, I just want to talk. I should stop. But just what I want to say is just such an awesome blessing to have friends in the region. That all of us, we share a bond of friendship that's really very special. And Anton and Christelle, we go many years back, and it's awesome to see how the Lord has done awesome things. And Anton is going to shepherd the region with me, and he's going to be in charge specifically of church planting and strategizing evangelism approaches for the year that lies ahead. And then Alistair and Hester, who came at the beginning of 2010, just made a tremendous difference for us at the office, streamlined things, cut away things that we were too sentimental to cut away with, and just really did an awesome job in making the office very efficient. Basically worked himself out of a job. He's made himself redundant, so to speak. Just been so efficient in the adult zone as well, and established tremendous growth and impetus. The Lord has laid it on their hearts to, as we all believe, and we've known from the moment they came to us, there's a great calling upon their lives, greater than just serving as faithful as they have done in the capacity of office manager. So Alistair and Hester, they're going to venture out into a new adventure of planting our church in Bloemfontein, and they're going to make that transition also towards the middle of 2011. And so it's with a little bit of sadness in our hearts that we sow them, but now we're sowing good soil. Good seed into good soil, sowing the best that we have. We're very excited about where the Lord is taking them. And Alistair and Hester, we just want to honor you. I want to thank you for putting your shoulder to the wheel. And as the scripture said, the Lord is sending each one of us into different areas, some of us to sow, all of us to sow, to reap in places where other people have sown. We just want to continue to ask you to please do pray for us. I'm going to ask you to stand, and if you could just extend your hands to us. We desperately need your prayers as the leaders that the Lord, that you have entrusted us to be over you. Thank you for trusting us with giving input into your lives. Maybe we should pray. Father, we want to just, Lord, this evening come and bow our knees. Lord, to you, Lord, the one who's trained, Lord God of your robe, fills the temple. Lord, the one who's high and lifted up, and yet the one who's Emmanuel with us and in us, God. Father, thank you for brothers and sisters, Lord, in this hall tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're not servants and masters, God, but we're fellow co-workers, Lord God, together, Lord, serving your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that together, collectively tonight, Lord, even as we heard that you want us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, together, Lord, as the leadership of this church, as the leaders, Lord God, who are not even yet the front, Lord, and doing such a lot of the hard work behind the scenes, Lord, as members, Lord God, who are interceding and reaching out, Lord God, and faithful in what you've called them to do, raising the kids faithfully, going to work faithfully with a spirit of excellence, Lord. Just such a lot of godly people you've blessed us with. We want to come together as a region. We want to declare, God, our dependency upon you. We want to say, Lord, that we trust you. We want to say, Lord God, we are excited about where we're going, Lord. Thank you that you are our master. And thank you, Lord, that we can all collectively as a region come and say, Lord, that we live for the lost. We live, Lord God, to see lost people, God, come to salvation. Lord, we don't want to worship you alone, God. Lord, we want to have, Lord God, halls, venues all across our region filled, reverberating, Lord God, with the sounds of worship and praise and adoration as we together collectively raise a shout to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So God, thank you for your faithfulness in bringing us to this place, for leading us, covering us, protecting us, God. And thank you for where you are taking us. We honor you for your guidance. We thank you, Lord, that greater things are yet to come, Lord God. Awesome things are around the corner. Thank you for the excitement in our spirits, Lord. Thank you for what we can sense you are doing. And Lord, we collectively say that we'll be careful, God, to give you all the glory for what you are about to do, for the explosion in our numbers, for the explosion in our growth, for the explosion in our influence, for the explosion, Lord God, in your glory that is descending upon us. So Lord, come and have your way tonight even as we will worship you in spirit and in truth, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. Let's continue to worship him together.